Morning, everybody. We are continuing our walk through Romans. If you will please turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1. We have taken a look at the author. We have taken a look at the book of contents, and we have talked about Jesus, the God-man. We have already seen how rich the book of Romans is just in chapter 1. And today, our text will answer the age-old question, are those who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ still accountable, who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, still accountable before God? Or can a just God really hold a heathen, that is someone who has not been told about the true God, accountable? What about that guy in the jungle? Well, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 27 answers these questions very clearly, and we will walk through this text today so we can clearly understand what God says about the heathen. So if you open your Bibles to chapter 1, verse 18 of Romans, and we will begin there. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That surprises many that it's in that list. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So let's begin. Verse 18, and we will look at something that is not spoken of much in churches today, and that is the wrath of God. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed. The word says that this wrath is from God, so that would mean that it is a divine wrath. It is of God. It is therefore unlike anything we know in this present world. God's wrath is not like human anger, which is always tainted by sin. God's wrath is always and completely righteous. God never has to apologize because He lost His temper. Now, God's wrath is revealed from heaven. God's righteous wrath has always been revealed to fallen mankind and is repeatedly illustrated throughout the Scripture. In the garden, Adam and Eve trusted the serpent's word above God's word. What happened? Immediately, the sentence of death was passed on to them and to all their descendants. God's wrath was revealed in the flood, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's many, many more examples through the Bible that show that God's wrath is a righteous wrath towards sin. And all these examples show us that God's wrath is always directed towards sin. And this could not be displayed any better than when Jesus hung on the cross. God hates sin so deeply that he allowed his perfect, beloved Son to be put to death. Jesus endured God's wrath so fallen mankind could be redeemed. God is love. God is love. But we err greatly if we think that God winks at sin and does not have wrath towards it. Maybe a good reading of Revelation would help you better understand this. All right. Now, we know that God has a righteous wrath, but what does the word say that this wrath is against? What does it say? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So who is guilty of ungodliness and unrighteousness? Well, here in chapter 1, we will see that the heathen is guilty. Chapters 2, verses 1 through 16, says the hypocrites are guilty. Chapters 2, 17 and on into 3 said the Hebrews are guilty. And chapter 3 says all are guilty and fall short of the glory of God. All men are enemies of God. Ephesians 2, 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. So even though we are talking about the heathen today, the one that has not heard the gospel, you need to understand the condition of all men. The Bible says that all men are guilty of ungodliness and unrighteousness. But as we can see today, that God's wrath is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, but there is a way to escape that wrath, and that is to not suppress the truth that is revealed. God's wrath will be put upon the one who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. That is one who knows the truth, but chooses, listen, don't miss that, but chooses to suppress it. When you suppress something, you are forcibly holding it back. You are preventing something from being expressed. When you suppress the truth, you are actively involved. You know the truth is there, and you are willing to overpower it and crush it. I don't want you to think that suppressing the truth is just ignoring it. That's not suppressing the truth. It is a willful act to hold back the truth. It is work. It is an action. You are involved when you suppress the truth. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one can find God on his own initiative or by his own wisdom or by searching on his own. But listen, God has never left man to himself and his own understanding, but grace has graciously provided abundant evidence of himself. He has sovereignly and universally made himself evident to man. Every man knows There is a God because God has put that in them. God has manifest in man the knowledge of God. We are created to worship. We are created to worship God. And that desire is within each man. That's why we have thousands of different religions in the world. We were created to worship. Man knows about God in his heart. It's part of the package. Knowing God is not an extra feature that you have to purchase. It's part of the package. It is who you are. Here's a couple examples of knowing this. A disease left Helen Keller as a very young girl without sight, hearing, and speech. But a lady named Ann Sullivan spent countless hours with her, and Helen finally learned to communicate through touch and even learned to speak. But listen to this. When Miss Sullivan first tried to tell Helen about God, the girl's response was that she already knew about him, just didn't know his name. It is in us. It's part of the package. The word tells us in Acts when Paul met with the pagan philosophers on Mars Hill at Athens. He goes up there and they have all these altars set up to all these man-made gods all the way through there. And Paul walks up to him and says, "Look, I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship. I also found an altar with an inscription on it to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance," Paul says, "this I proclaim to you." And he proceeded to tell him who this unknown God is. And he tells him about Jesus. You see, the great philosophers knew of God. They knew there was a God, but they chose to suppress the truth in their hearts and made God into something else. They had an altar to the unknown God because in their hearts they knew that their man-made gods were not sufficient. They knew it, but they continued to worship them. They continued to suppress the truth. Not only does man suppress the truth about what is revealed in the hearts, but they also suppress the truth about God that is revealed in creation. Verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." I've said this before. The complexity of life on this planet screams of a creator. Looking at the stars declares the glory of God. Psalm 19:1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." You ever stare at the stars at night and you say there's no God? You suppress the truth. The world did not evolve. It was created with intimate details. Have you ever thought about this? They tell us that everything has evolved, and it started with, I don't know, some pool of something. I don't know what it is, but it starts with that. But what they say, everything has evolved. That matter just started and evolved into better matter, and that died off, and it turned into this complex system. But it's all material. It takes matter to evolve into more matter. So tell me this. How did a soul evolve? Where did it come from? Can you put your hand on it? Can you put a soul in a jar? So when you think about creation and how it reveals God, don't just think about the complex system that we're in. Think about a soul, each individual soul. Think about your soul. It didn't evolve. God created that soul, and he desires to spend eternity with that soul in heaven. So God is revealed in the heart of man throughout creation to every man. Therefore, no man can plead ignorance of God. Listen, Even without Scripture, without the Word, God has always revealed Himself and continues to reveal Himself to man. So the Word says that every man is without excuse. That man in the jungle that everybody's worried about is without excuse. As Paul unequivocally asserts here, no person can rightly claim ignorance of God, and therefore no person can rightly claim that God's wrath against him is unjust. On the day of judgment, nobody's going to walk away and go, man, that ain't fair. Our God is just, and he is fair. God is perfectly just, and listen, therefore, he could not rightly condemn those who are totally ignorant of him. But the Word says that no one can claim ignorance. Every person is accountable for the revelation of God that has been revealed to them. Every person will be accountable for the revelation of God that is revealed to them. And the revelation that everyone has received, listen, is enough to put anyone on the path to salvation. It's enough. Don't miss that. The revelation that everyone has received is enough to put him on the path to salvation. You cannot be saved by recognizing that there is a God by looking at creation. Observing creation will not give you John 3:16. Observing creation will not give you the name of Jesus by which everyone will be saved. But, listen to me, if someone truly desires in their heart to know the one true God, if he walks in the light that has been shown to him by looking at creation, God, being just, will get the gospel message to them. Do not think just because this man lives in, quote, the jungle, that the message will not get to him. If one follows the truth that has been revealed to him, do you really think that God's going, doggone, that guy wants to know me? But he lives in the jungle, so I guess he's just going to have to spend eternity in hell. Who knew he was going to move so far out? Away from civilization. He doesn't have a TV. He doesn't even have a radio. Let him burn. Do you really think God says that? God did not create any man to spend eternity in hell. You are not predestined to hell. We'll learn more about that as we study Romans. It is not God's desire that anyone perish, but all come to repentance, 1 Peter 3:9. But the wrath of God is on the one who suppresses the truth that is revealed to them. They are without excuse. Every man is without excuse. Look at verse 21. Because, why are they without excuse? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Creepy too. All men are without excuse. Why? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. God says, here I am. And man says, no thank you, I don't like the truth. The truth hurts. The truth reveals who we really are. The truth convicts the heart of man. So the reason that man suppresses the truth is so that he can live his own life and not be convicted by God's truth. That's why we run from the real God. Because he reveals who we really are. And that's why we have thousands of different religions throughout the world. Man says, I don't like the boundaries that God has set on my life, so I will make my own God, and I will be free, and I can be who I really am. I don't know about you, but I don't like who I really am without Christ. I don't want to be that. And man, being who he really is, thinks he's a very smart man. But he's not as smart as he wants to believe. Verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You are a fool, it says. You have taken the Creator and made him into something created. Why? Because when man suppresses God's truth and refuses to acknowledge God's glory, man is left without a God. Remember what I said earlier. Man is created with the desire in his heart that he must worship. But if he will not worship the one true God, he will worship a false God even if he has to manufacture him. He will worship. Man exchanged the glory of the true God for a substitute God that he made himself. He exchanged the glory for shame, the incorruption for corruption, and truth for lies. Now someone may be thinking out there, that guy in the jungle, thinking about him carving out a log, making his little god, and setting him up there, and you're going, hey, that's so foolish, it's just a log. Maybe he's uneducated, that's why he does that. Have you looked around the world today that we live in, this modern society, and how smart these people are? Say, oh yes, I was walking by that rock and I felt the energy of God in that rock. And when I held that crystal, my eyes were open to a whole new world. I felt free. I knew that I could tap into this energy in this rock and I would be enlightened and I could hang my God on my mirror and take him to work with me each and every day. God is in my rock. Can you feel the power? That's in our society today. When you suppress the truth, you will worship something. There's many more examples out there. That's just an easy target. So the answer to the question, can a just God really hold the heathen, the one who has not been told about the true gospel, accountable? Yes. The word tells us yes. God has done his part. God has revealed truth in us. We can see that there is a God the Creator by looking at creation. We know there is a God by looking at our own hearts. So man has a choice. Either he can follow after the light that has been revealed to him, or he can reject it and create his own God. Either way, you'll be held accountable for what you know. And you'll be held more accountable by the more light that you have been revealed, like today. You've heard the true gospel today. And you'll be held accountable for that. So what is the result of one who rejects the one true God? Verse 24. God has revealed himself. Man says, no, thank you. This is the result. Therefore, always remember to look at that therefore, to go back and see why is that therefore, therefore. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to honor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. So if you reject God, remember your choice. If you choose to reject God, what does God do? Verse 24, God gave them up to uncleanliness. Verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions. Verse 28, God gave them over to a debased mind. If you turn your back on God, if you are running away from God, if you do not want the truth, or if you are pulling away from God, God will let you have exactly what you want. He will turn you over. He gave them up. That's heartbreaking. God says, "Here I am. Come to me." His arms are open. God says, "I will die for you." God says, "I love you." And then he asks, "Do you love me?" Forced love is not love at all. Love comes from the heart. You cannot force someone to truly love you. And if you don't love God, then he will give you over. And God gave them over. Why? Verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged, verse 26, they exchanged the natural for the unnatural. They traded God for a lie. God says, "Here I am," but they said, "No thanks." Here's a good point. They could not exchange the truth for a lie if they did not have the truth to start with. Verse 20 says they are without excuse. If you do not allow the truth of God into your heart, then your heart will be filled with something else. Do you want to know what a godless heart will be filled with? Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. What does a heart look like without God? If it's not filled with God, it'll be filled with this. This is what someone who rejects the truth becomes. This is not someone you want to be your best friend, huh? As a matter of fact, verse 32 says that we are not to approve of this kind of behavior. And as I studied this passage and I read this list, I couldn't help to think about, you know, when you share the gospel with somebody, if you witness into somebody and you say, you know, why should God allow you into his heaven? And they give that answer, "Well, I'm a pretty good guy, you know, I'm pretty good." So I was thinking, maybe I'll read this list to them the next time and say, you know, this is what you are without God. Their response would probably be, "Well, other than that, I'm a pretty good guy." You know, other than that. But you know what? Even this guy that you're witnessing to, he knows that heaven is a holy place. He brought it up. "Well, I'm pretty good." Every man knows the righteousness of God. Every man knows right from wrong. Every man knows that a wrong deserves to be punished. You don't believe me? Go wrong an unbeliever, and he will pull out that God card in a minute. "Hey, that's not right." Says who? Where did you get that from? By whose standard is that not right? And where do you get right from wrong? This man, by stating that that is not right, just confirmed there is a righteous God. In his heart, he knows there's a righteous God. Now, even though a man suppresses the truth that has been revealed to him, that truth still lives in him. He knows right from wrong and chooses wrong, even though he knows that that wrong will be judged one day. He knows it. Verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, did you hear that? Knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice, that's a lifestyle, such things are deserving of death. One who rejects the truth of God knows in his heart that a wrong has to be made right. They know it. Jesus Christ has made all the wrongs right. God judged sin on the cross at Calvary. And if you have accepted the gift of God, if you have accepted the fact that Jesus Christ has paid for your sins, then you have peace with God. But if you are not covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then you will have to face God and be judged accordingly with the light that has been revealed to you. You will be held accountable for the truth that was revealed to you. Because, as we have seen in our word today, no man is without excuse. No man. God is revealed in the heart. God is revealed through the creation. No man will be without excuse. That's right.